Hey, y'all. This is Jesse Sorensen, formerly with TNA Impact Wrestling. You are listening to Shining Wizards Podcast.
This episode of Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast is available on the Shining Wizards Network. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, home of 9 great shows, featuring Pro Wrestling 101 with Justin Credible, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with the impact play of Phil Rea and Dave Megapowers, 2.5 Wrestlers, Jay Silva, Pat Buck, and Kevin Matthews, the bad boys of podcasting, the Neckbreaker Podcast, a pro wrestling and heavy metal podcast, the Midnight Jury. Mike Norenganger and Adam Henning host The Midnight Jury, a podcast that transports you back to the last old-school generation, debating 80s and 90s pro wrestling, horror movies, and pop culture. The Fallen Angels, the Gideon Triplets, Kanzer, Krim, and Dante bring you the inside stories of pro wrestling. Apex Radio and the Forearms and Funk Radio Spectacular are brothers to the north. All available on the Shining Wizards Network, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and available on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
This is Veda Scott, and you're listening to the Shining Wizards Podcast.
Joining the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast during this episode is former WWE and TNA star Zach Gowen and WWE Hall of Famer, the hardcore legend himself, Mick Foley. Now your hosts for this evening, Shining Wizards Kevin and Shining Wizards Matt. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Matt.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. You like that fancy intro?
That was a good. We got personalized intros, but now we can't be fake people, can we?
We can. I mean, if no one's ever really seen us, they could just assume that I'm Kevin and you're Matt.
That is true. But we're not that clever, so.
No, we're not, but we have a clever show tonight.
Very good show.
As mentioned in our fancy Tonight Show intro, we have Zach Gowen joining us to talk a little bit of his career and all that jazz. And then we have the WWE Hall of Famer Mick Foley joining us to talk about his WrestleMania Dream Vacation giveaway.
Very excited about that, as we should be.
You and me both. So have you fully recovered from the last episode we did with Dave Destruction?
That was a good episode. That was a fun time, man. That was a real good time with buddy Davey Richards. It was a fun show.
Well, funny you mentioned Davey Richards. Not long after our interview, TNA pulled him from the PWS card.
For all future shows, I believe, right? Because he's supposed to be there this Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. And then also, again, in either April or the Super Show. I'm not sure. But, yeah, I did hear that, and that's unfortunate. But, you know, business is business, and I don't know. I do begrudge TNA a little bit for pulling them. But, I mean, they have the right to do what they want with their contracted talent, I guess, even though if it does make them look like little bitches.
Well, it's unfortunate because we do a lot of work with TNA, and it just really leaves a bad taste in your mouth. We do a lot of work with PWS, too.
More so than TNA, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Unfortunately, it's the business. I don't really see why it matters. If anything, he might even be able to pull in a different type of audience at PWS. You know, maybe someone goes there, they don't watch TNA. There's Davey Richards, TNA superstar. Hey, maybe I'll check out Impact Thursday.
Yeah. It's the fans that get screwed out of everything in the long run when something like this happens.
I know Eddie was very, very upset about this.
Eddie upset about something?
Irony.
Ooh.
So I guess speaking of Impact, did you have the opportunity to watch any Impact?
I did not watch Impact this week. I'm a bad wrestling fan this week.
Well, you know what? I think I've said this before. It's not easy
You know, Impact is 2 hours, NXT is an hour, Raw is three, SmackDown is two. The network itself is just full of content. I actually spent like 5 hours the other day just watching the network with Impact on the DVR and SmackDown on the DVR. I'd rather watch the network than the current product.
I agree. I definitely would. If I was like home, I'm never home in the evening, so it's hard for me to catch all the shows. But if I had a gun to my head and say, and they said, hey, Kevin, watch old school stuff on the WWE Network or watch 2 hours of Impact, I'm not going to lie, I would watch the network. And what I have on my I have the screen up right now, I'm watching Fall Brawl 95 with the Dungeon of Doom versus Hogan, Luger, Sting, and Savage. And like that stuff, that was my favorite time. And I would rather watch – wasn't my favorite time. That was stupid. But I enjoyed it, and I would rather watch that. Like, if Impact was on right now and I had Fall Brawl War Games 95 on my computer, I would be more focused on War Games 95 than I would be on TNA Impact.
It makes sense.
Which is sad. I mean, listen, I get no pleasure in saying that because I do like TNA. But it's just the truth. I guess maybe now because the network is still so new and so fresh that up until then you didn't have a chance to see all these shows. So it's going to take your attention for a while. Then I'm sure once the novelty of the network wears off a little bit, I'll be back to the regular scheme of the current product.
Well, for me, I'm all for, I strongly want any wrestling company to be successful.
Of course.
That's all I want. If TNA starts doing well, great. That creates competition. If PWS is doing great, which they are, it's awesome for wrestling as a whole, independent wrestling. You know, Ring of Honor is doing well. If Dragon Gate is doing well, if Smash Wrestling is doing well in Canada, that's really all we ask for, because we work off of that.
Yeah, we don't have anything to do on like Wednesday or Thursday nights if there's no major competition in wrestling. Like how boring would it be to see or hear the same three or four bums every week just talk about Vince McMahon?
Exactly. And for us, if these guys are doing well, they want to get out there and spread the word. And that's how we get these awesome guests. So, here's to them continuing to succeed. But, I mean, Impact was rough this week. I finally got around to it. Coming off a lockdown, I feel like it's frustrating for me because they tape all their shows, you know, in 2 days or whatever they do. But they put so many of these like little backstage segments. They mush them all together in a show. Just here alone on my sheet here, I'm going to count how many wrestling matches there were.
This is last week's Impact.
Yes. Three.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Joe versus Abyss. I think there was a woman's match. Excuse me. It might be four. no, I'm sorry. Damn. Okay. I was wrong. There's four. Four or five, but it's like they open with a promo with EC3 and Bobby Roode, and then there's an MVP Magnus Abyss Joe promo, and then there's a backstage segment with Bully Ray, and then there's another promo with Spud and EC3 and Bobby Lashley, and then there's an Angelina Love promo, and then
she just came back. Was that her return?
Yeah, that was her return.
So that's, I have no problem with that.
Two promo?
Oh, they did two, right? Because then they did the thing with if they're going to reunite the Beautiful People, right?
Yeah.
I think I did see Impact.
And then Bully Ray and Bobby Roode have a confrontation at the end. And it's like, I get it. But those confrontations and stuff could be spread out throughout the whole, you know. And I think someone said it on Facebook. You watch a week of Impact and they do something like this where they're just throwing backstage segments at you. And you're like, I can't do this for 3 weeks for the payoff. Because you won't watch it, and then you'll watch it 1 week, and you're like, holy shit, that was a great episode. But
and then Dixie wasn't, like, they didn't, is she, like, officially off the thing, or did she come back to do, like, a farewell? Was that the EC3 promo? Did they mention her at all?
They mentioned her, but she didn't come out. She didn't, you know, fucking TV bomb your screen and aggravate Eddie.
So, well, me too, because I can't stand her.
I don't mind her.
I know you and Tony both. You don't hate her. I hate the character.
I hate her, but I mean that's what she's there to do. I don't.
But you hate her for the reasons wrestling fans are supposed to hate characters. I hate her for the reasons get the fuck off my TV. I don't want to see you. Not you're making me so mad I want to jump to the TV and punch you in the face. It's just go away. It's, you know, I mean, X-Pac heat, whatever you want to call.
Would you jump through the TV and punch her in the face if you could, wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, I think
I would. If you hate her that much to get her off your TV, you'd
well, if I was going to jump through the TV and do anything to her, I think we know exactly what that would be. But and then they didn't have Daniels or Kazarian on the show either, from what I understand. That's a sin. And Saban either. And isn't Saban involved in like a hot angle now with somebody, or wasn't he?
He was with Aries over the X Division title, and Aries lost the title to Sanda,
the Buddhist guy.
But then, all three of those guys weren't on TV. Aries wasn't on TV this week. No Gunner. Real, just a flat show.
That's an odd thing. Gunner's their guy now, their next guy, supposedly, and just not have him on the show at all.
Bully Ray as a face is just weird. I don't think it works. Have you seen the Willow character?
Fortunately, I have not. Now, does he wrestle as Jeff Hardy? And is he both? Like, do you see him as Jeff Hardy? Or is it just transparent that Willow is Jeff Hardy?
He comes out. There is no Jeff Hardy. There's no like Jeff Hardy intro.
It's not like Abyss Joseph Park where you see them both on the show as two different characters.
And it'd be great if they were like, oh, who is this Willow guy? But they mentioned several times during commentary that it's pretty much Jeff Hardy.
Okay.
I enjoyed the MVP Magnus Abyss thing. I think it's a little goofy that MVP is going to be in a feud with... Oh, you know what? I stopped myself.
Spoiler alert.
No, I'm not even going to do it. You watch Impact tonight. By the time you listen to this, you already see what happened. But if not, I'm not going to ruin it for you. I don't know.
I got to find out.
They have so much potential. I just think they should be doing a better job than what they're doing. Bobby Lashley is a terrible idea.
Who do they have him? Is he with EC3 now? Is he going to be feuding with him?
Yeah, I think that's the angle they're going with.
Okay. Because I mean, I don't know. Did they do anything on Impact with him? Who was he paired with? Did he interrupt the promo? Did he beat anybody up?
He interrupted the EC3 and Rockstar Spud promo.
I love Rockstar Spud.
Spud is a great character. They gave you another Ken Anderson, Sam Shaw match,
was this the first Impact after lockdown?
Yes.
I have no problem with them doing the rematch of Sam Shaw and Ken Anderson.
I would like to just see Sam Shaw continue to be creepy and do it with somebody else.
Is Hemi still involved?
Of course
did they turn her yet?
Not yet.
No.
Impact in a whole. Sonata and Tigre Uno beat the Bromans, who are your tag champs. It was an exciting match, but they gave them like 4 or 5 minutes. I hate when they do shit like they make the tag champs lose.
Non-title, though, right?
Yeah, but I don't. I mean, he's the X Division champ, and Tigre Uno is just a dude. They'd both be better off suited just doing X Division stuff, not even a tag team.
Yeah, I guess they're just, it seems like they really want to force this, because they're the ones involved with the Muda exchange, right? So they just want to emphasize that for a little while. I'm sure you'll get the give and take with some TNA guys going over on them at some point, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, for the most part, that was Impact. It wasn't anything to write home about. I'm sure Adam Henning is going to argue on Facebook with Eddie about it. The big news this week was that they paid $300,000, allegedly, to rent out the Hammerstein Ballroom for 3 shows.
Because they want to, who owns Spike TV? Viacom?
Maybe. I don't know.
Is that what it – I don't know. But why is that a big deal?
They spent $300,000 for the Hammerstein Ballroom?
To do for how many days?
3 shows, I think.
How much does it cost to rent out the Hammerstein Ballroom?
I don't know, but there's been some talk on the face base that's a bit pricey.
What the Hammerstein Ballroom charges, and what you just said that they shouldn't go to the Hammerstein, they shouldn't spend $300,000 to go anywhere.
I mean, I don't know the ins and outs. I don't know the way it works. I don't know what they charge for a venue. If that's $100,000 to rent the that's $100,000 a show.
And are they just going to be taping? Are they going to be live events?
I don't know the details. I just know that's
It's a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. It's a huge lot of money, but that's probably Panda fronting that and not Dixie Carter, right? Are they the same?
No, I would assume, but that's still, you can't pay AJ enough money to stay in the company.
But this, I feel like this is going to put, like, dude, Hammerstein Ballroom, no matter what company, they're going to be a rocking crowd, and they're probably going to put on some really sick shows, and they'll probably make it wrestling heavy, I can imagine. They're probably going to, I mean, if they do Hammerstein with promos, they're going to get booed out of the building. But if they make it, they make them three wrestling heavy shows, and just go to town and put on three damn good shows, and then hopefully maybe that gets them on the map. Maybe that opens more people's eyes. Maybe that gets them more viewers on a weekly basis. Then I don't know. I mean, I can't tell someone how to spend their money. If they don't think AJ Styles is worth $300,000, I don't blame them. And we're not saying that AJ Styles is worth $300,000, but. I mean, I think who knows? I'll wait till I see it to see before I go all nuts about it.
It is. It's a lot. Don't get me wrong. I don't lose any sleep over it. I just think it's a lot of money.
It is a lot.
I'd be very interested to see what comes with that. Does that include concessions? Does that include, you know, the chairs and you know, all that rigmarole, the security, like all those extra little fees get included into that? Because then I think if you break everything down and it's $100,000 a show, and I don't know.
I mean, I don't know enough about the business side to know whether if that's completely outrageous or not. But I mean, if Hammerstein Ballroom is charging, you know, $100,000 a night for a band to play there, I don't see how outrageous it is for TNA to spend the same amount.
I mean, they're not really, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what
happens. Yeah, again, I don't know how all the business ends of it or what it's for or if, you know, what it is. But, I mean, it's an outrageous amount of money, but we'll see what it actually, if they can put on three really good shows and open, like I said, open people's eyes and gain more viewers on a weekly basis, then it'll be a success. If they don't and they're still getting the same ratings that they've been getting the entire time, you know, if Spike TV decides, hey, we don't want you on our channel anymore, then it'll be a failure. But if they go up there and impress Viacom or whoever it is, Spike TV, and then Spike TV is like, oh, we'll keep you around for a while and keep them on TV, then, you know, that's if a new contract with TNA and Spike comes out of this, then you got to say it's a success. If it secures TV for another 5 years...
No, I don't disagree. It was a hot button issue on the Facebook. That's the only reason why I brought it up. I don't really know much about it.
Wow, this is going great.
No, we're good.
Yeah.
How about Monday Night Raw?
I did watch Raw.
Did you partake in a little Monday Night Raw?
I did watch Monday Night Raw. No sound, though, so I didn't really get to hear a whole lot of promos. But I did watch it. I thought it was a good show. I loved the ending.
I thought it was one of the better Raws that they've done in a long time. I even... and I'm sure I'll get murdered for this at some point, really enjoyed the Triple H Batista Orton thing at the beginning. They did a promo. I know you said you couldn't hear, but I mean, it was good. You know, everyone's kind of taking pot shots at each other. It was just, I enjoyed it.
And this is when Triple H inserts himself, possibly if he beats Brian, he gets into the, which I have no problem with. A lot of people were giving him crap about that, immediately saying that Triple H is going into the match, which if you think that, you're out of your mind.
Yeah, no, that's not happening.
But it creates, at least for the casual fan, it creates a little bit of maybe it could happen sort of deal. But I have no problem with that. And it sets up another angle to Mania, which is fine by me.
Yeah. On the Triple H front, I've been watching, as you mentioned, the network, a lot of the older stuff, the in-your-house stuff. And I know he was the only one that could be punished for the curtain call, but god damn did he get some fucking shitty feuds.
What, the Godwin and...
Duke the Dumpster Drosy.
Yeah.
Holy awful.
Yeah. The Hogpen match is probably the worst.
I watched that the other day. It was a pretty bad... and him and Duke Drosy actually had a pretty decent match.
Was it you that went through, that you said that you went through like basically all of the 96 pay-per-views, or is that Eddie?
I did. I went through.
And you said that Henry Godwin was on like every single one of them.
Every single one he was involved with the Million Dollar Corporation and the Slop Bucket.
Yeah, I remember that because him and Sid got into it. And
Bigelow.
I guess it paid to be on one of Undertaker's boys back then too.
I guess so.
But he was always in a solid spot for some reason, Henry Godwin. Even when he came in with Phineas, they were in every just about on every pay per view too, either feuding with the Body Donnas or the Smoking Guns or the New Rockers. So yeah,
no, he wasn't a
good
bad
job
worker.
for Henry Godwin, Mark Curtis, not Mark Curtis, what's his name?
Dennis Knight.
No, that's the other one.
No, Mark Canterbury.
Mark Canterbury. Yeah.
But back to Raw, Usos versus the Real Americans. I really enjoyed the match. The Real Americans got a win. Again, it bothers me that they win over the tag team. But what bothers me more is...
Who got the pin? Cesaro?
Cesaro.
No problem there.
What bothers me more is that they keep teasing Real Americans a breakup.
Right.
Either break them up or just let them be a dominant tag team.
I agree. I've been a proponent that they should not split them up. But if what I think is going to happen is going to happen and they're going to elevate Cesaro to this level, which I can't even tell if they're going to anymore, if they're keeping them together as a tag team, because they're in a match on SmackDown for the number one contendership for the tag titles. I mean, if they lose that, then I don't know. If they win that, then I don't know. Like, it's a lot of question marks to around that whole Cesaro thing. I still think he's going to win the 30-man Andre thing.
Uh-huh.
And then he'll carry on that trophy for a while, and then he'll get his shot at the championship, and who knows what will happen. But it's really hard to tell what their plan is with them right now.
How about this? Ready? Okay, they lose SmackDown number one contendership, okay? A little more, you know, they're not getting along, whatever.
Okay.
Cesaro eliminates...
You're presenting a situation.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Cesaro eliminates Swagger at Mania, and that's what's... You know,
I mean, it would be
insta-feud.
Yeah, insta-feud. It would be foolish for that not to be the first feud. And a lot of people thought that we were going to get that at WrestleMania. I never thought we were going to get that at WrestleMania because the Cesaro-Jack Swagger match one-on-one at WrestleMania is a non-draw whatsoever. And I'll talk about the WrestleMania card and how weak I think it is in a little bit. But, yeah, so Cesaro, I think it's the right thing to do to put him in this Battle Royal. Make him have some awesome eliminations. Have it come down to him and Big Show at the end. Have Cesaro dump Big Show at the end, and then just see where Cesaro goes, because the crowd is hot for him now. Let's see if the booking allows them to still be hot for him. So
it'll be interesting to see what happens. We're treated to a wonderful promo with Kane and the Shield, which leads to Hornswoggle, which leads to Bad News Barrett, which I could have done without.
Did you see Hornswoggle's hair?
No, I actually fast-forwarded through it.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Dude, the guy's got like a Metro, like New York, like... I was like, it was on St. Patrick's Day, and I saw Hornswoggle with his hair, and I'm like, there's no way this dude is Irish. I had to call him out. You fraud, Hornswoggle. If you're listening to this, you're a fraud with your straightened, brunette, highlighted hair, you movie star.
Yeah, you midget.
See, I can't be that cruel. This is I knew, because I like to talk serious wrestling without Tony or Eddie here with the farts and the whatnots, and
it's refreshing when, no offense, Tony, when you're not here.
We can actually just talk wrestling.
Sheamus beats up Titus O'Neil.
Ah.
Christian is there doing commentary, which, I mean, you obviously know what's going to happen, and it does. Christian attacks him after the match, setting up... they're both in the Rumble.
Yeah, right? See, that match should have been a one-on-one match. I would pay, not pay, but like, that's a match that you fill out your card with, is Christian versus Sheamus.
Yeah, no, I agree. They had an awesome match, what, last week? They have a street fight on Raw. It was off the charts.
Yeah, both their match. I think they even had one on SmackDown, too, and it was really good. So, yeah, it's weird that they're just trying to fill up that Battle Royal, but there's only like four other matches on the card in general. So if you're putting on a 4-hour show with five matches, that's a little weird to me.
Well, don't forget all the commercials.
That's true.
John Cena, Bray Wyatt promo. I don't care what anyone says about Bray Wyatt. He's awesome on the mic.
Yep, he's great.
I definitely enjoy him. Daniel Bryan versus Orton. I don't have any complaints. I'm sorry.
No, neither do I. That was a really good match. They never have bad matches.
They really don't. And I don't like Orton at all. Batista assists Brian. He spears Orton and lets Daniel get the win. But, you know, all around, I think it's a good. You know, Brian got a win over Batista last week, and now he beats Orton. So, I mean, he's riding high going into the Triple H showdown.
Did Batista get a pop when he helped, when he did what he did to Orton?
it's hard to say. It's hard to tell because they're either booing him or they're cheering him. I think he's going to have to do a lot more than attack Orton and help Daniel Bryan win to get anything.
Because that would be really interesting if they, if the crowd all of a sudden says, oh, man, maybe we were too rough on him. Let's start cheering him again. And then he becomes a babyface again, which I don't see happening. But he's not going anywhere. So he's going to be around for a while. So I was just wondering if he got the pop. If he got a pop and was getting cheered after that, then it would be interesting to see if they do anything to adjust it.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what they do with him at Mania. Goldust beats Fandango. The Shield, they attack Kane. I don't know what that's setting up. The Shield against Kane and who?
New Age Outlaws.
Oh, yeah, the Outlaws. Someone said there was rumors they were bringing up the
Ascension?
Yeah.
That would be, dude, I saw them, and I never watched NXT. I didn't even get to see Arrival. I didn't have the network yet. But I did watch the last NXT, and I saw the Ascension for the first time. Dudes are serious.
Yeah, they worked a house show at the Garden earlier this month, I think they were there.
Dude, I would bring them up yesterday if I could. Because they're beasts. They have an incredible, and you guys probably listening already know all this shit that I'm saying. Because I just saw them for the first time, and dude, like I said, I'd bring them up yesterday. Their tag team moves, their double team moves, that borderline total elimination that they do as a finisher, it's sick.
Yeah, they're the future. What they have in NXT is great if they bring them up and they use them properly. And I think that's a great platform for them to make their debut, especially against the Shield, because they worked with those guys when they were down there. So, I mean.
And they could, these guys could be like the only team other than, like, you know, the Wyatts, the other two guys, Harper and Rowan, that you actually feel the Shield can be beat by them, like physically threatening to them.
They throw you a really shit sandwich of a Survivor Series match. Big E, Mark Henry, The Big Show, and Dolph, they beat Axel, Ryback, ADR, and Sandow. When did Big E and Dolph reconcile?
I don't know. That's an interesting question, Matthew.
Is it because he has the gold and Dolph wants to cozy up to him?
Maybe. Maybe he's working his way to the inside so then he could zigzag, and that's not happening.
I'm pretty sure all these guys are in the Battle Royal.
Let's see. Hold on. I'm at the WrestleMania thing. I can pull up the match.
I just don't understand, like, why you're making these guys have these matches. It's
a filler. Like, right now, if you go to the main WrestleMania page, right now all they have is Christian, Fandango, Damian Sandow, Mark Henry, Titus O'Neil, Big E, Alberto Del Rio, Big Show, Sheamus, Ryback, and Curtis Axel. So they don't even have Cesaro or Swagger or any of these guys officially, even though I've read in like four different sites that they're in it. So they have a lot of spaces to fill. But
I also heard somewhere they were talking about making that the pre-show, and a lot of people were really upset about that because they did the whole thing that Hogan is going to make. You know, Hogan has a big announcement, which was last week, but that was the big get that he was announcing this. And now, you know, if it's nothing set in stone, but I mean, the reports are out, they might move that to the pre-show. What a hunk of shit that would be.
That would be terrible. Let's see. I mean, but they're doing a 2-hour pre-show for WrestleMania.
It's a what? 2-hour pre-show, 4-hour Mania, 1-hour post-show.
Jesus Christ.
That's 7 hours.
And they have, let me see if I can count the matches right here. Start with the title match right there. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five matches right now for the whole entire WrestleMania card listed right now. And if they put the Battle Royal on the pre-show, that's only 4. And we're going to assume that they're doing something with the Shield, obviously. But 4 matches right now for a 4-hour show.
Well, they have to find filler. Although I seem like...
the Usos, like, I think, are going to have a tag match, maybe.
The tag champs, they better defend the titles on a fucking...
The Intercontinental champ might be in the freaking pre-show. He's in the Battle Royal.
No one even cares about Big E anymore.
Yeah, they dropped the ball with him. What else we got?
Bray Wyatt squashes Kofi. Says a lot about your 100-time former intercontinental champion.
Separated pec man.
And then they end with the Triple H Daniel Bryan promo, which, I mean, as much as everyone hates on Triple H and they feel like he does what's best for him, I mean, him and Daniel Bryan just works. It works.
I never had a problem since day one if they were going to do Triple H, Daniel Bryan, and if that was going to be his spot, I had no problem with that at all. Versus Triple H.
And, you know, the storyline for me, and I can't speak for everybody else, and again, I'm sure people are going to fucking grill me for it, but it's, you know, the storyline interests me. It makes sense.
It does.
Going all the way back to SummerSlam, and, you know, Daniel Bryan's finally going to get his due, and if he wins, which I hope he does, he gets his match. You know, he gets put in the three-way. It's an interesting storyline. You know, I just wish there were more of them. You know, we're, what, 3 weeks out from Mania, and you have five matches?
Yeah.
That's shit. That's awful.
They used to – remember when you used to get the WWF magazine, like, a month ahead of time? And the main event would – and the matches would be listed in the magazine before they were ever even announced on TV. Like, the whole undercard and everything. Like, I remember getting a magazine, I think Davey Boy Smith was on the cover, and on the it was for SummerSlam 92, and on the back, they already had Macho Man – versus Ultimate Warrior on the back of the magazine before it was ever announced on TV. And now they just take their time and they wait.
Yeah, it's frustrating. But, I mean, what can you do? You know, 3 weeks out, right? 3 weeks? What are we? Two weeks? 2 weeks away? Two more Raws before Mania.
Two more Raws. Yeah, the 24th.
And the 31st.
Yeah, and then six is Mania.
And then Mania. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. We do have Zach Gowen calling in.
All right.
So, what is that? A little crackly pop. That's probably me. So, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Zach Gowen. And then we'll come back and we'll bullshit some more before we talk to WWE hardcore legend and Hall of Famer, Mick Foley. We'll be right back, gang. Now joining us on the Shining Wizards hotline, he is the only one-legged wrestler in this whole crazy wrestling business. He is the one and only Mr. Zach Gowen. A smattering of applause for you, sir.
Anytime I hear anybody cheer for me, it's always appreciated. But I do have to correct you. There's another guy out there with one leg who's a professional wrestler. Believe it or not, his real name is Michael Hayes, and I'm not talking about the Freebird. This guy was trained by Rip Rogers on an OVW. He lost his leg actually overseas fighting for our country, and he wrestles with this prosthetic on, and he has an amazing story, and he's a very talented athlete. But I had to put that one little note of correction in there.
Well, we do stand corrected, and we send our apologies to Michael Hayes. Sounds like he's right there with you in terms of ability. He wrestles with the prosthetic. You said
he wrestles with his leg on. He has a little more, and it's something that I would do too. But because my amputation is so high up, I'm really limited in my movements with the prosthesis on. But fortunately for him. And he lost his leg, and he lost friends and an IUD attack, which is just, I mean, I had cancer when I was 8 years old, and I, you know, like that's nothing compared to voluntarily, you know, putting your life on the line for my freedom, you know. But he wrestles. He has a little bit more of his leg than I do, and he wrestles with his prosthesis on and. He, you know, like I said, he's an incredible athlete, and he's got the heart of a lion.
Well, it's his duties are greatly appreciated, and I think for an 8-year-old boy to battle cancer, I don't think that's something that should be overlooked. But you mentioned that the Michael Hayes wrestles with his prosthetic. You decided that you weren't gonna wrestle with your prosthetic. How long into your wrestling training did you decide that it was just dead weight?
Well, I knew that right away because I wrestled in high school without my leg on, and I would backyard wrestle without my leg on. To me, it was just cumbersome. It always just got in the way, and I felt more free, and I felt I had a better agility and better ability to move my body without. It just got in the way, basically. You know, talking about my leg, so anything athletic. That I would do growing up, I never had my leg on. So it was never really a thought to wrestle with the leg on.
Were you very, very athletic, young man?
Yeah, I'm blessed. I was just kind of thinking about this the other day, like how many factors and how many planets had to line up for me to become a professional wrestler. You know, not only, you know, heavy cancer, but losing my leg at 8 years old, which turned out to be an advantage because I was able to grow up and adapt and get used to not having a leg. And then I have to have some sort of athletic background and training. And I came up at the right time too, because if I would have tried to break into the business 20 years earlier, you know, I would have doors slammed on my face. You know, so like for everything to kind of come together, it's really, my story is, I believe it's a once in a lifetime, story that you're going to hear, you know? And, so yeah, but to answer your question, I was very athletic growing up and I, always participated in sports and I just desperately wanted to keep up with my friends. And so I had a drive to compete with them and to overcome my disadvantages from a very early age.
Now, you hear people talk about the struggle to get into professional wrestling. I mean, 8 years old, you lose your leg. What's the struggle like for you growing up? Not even, you know, when you get into the wrestling business, but beforehand, a lot of frustrations, a lot of people, you know, not having faith in you to exceed in the activities you participated in.
Most of my struggles and obstacles were internal, based on how I felt about myself. Because I don't think any kid wants to grow up feeling different or feeling like an outcast. And I certainly did, because everywhere I went, people would stop and they would stare and they would point at me and I would hear, you know, "Mommy, mommy, what's wrong with him? What's wrong with him?" And, you know, parents would hush their kids in embarrassment and shuffle them away. And this is every day of my life. So eventually you start thinking, you know, what is wrong with me? You know, physically I feel okay. Sure. You know, after you overcome the pain of the amputation and, you know, I'm deemed cancer free. But, internally I feel so ugly and I feel so different. But all of that seemed to go away when I got lost in the magical world of professional wrestling. And that's why I say wrestling has saved my life, because there's been instances throughout my life, where wrestling has been the backbone or the catalyst, you know, of some major changes in my life. And, you know, as a teenager, it was certainly huge because I felt so different and I felt so ugly, but I could escape into that world and not feel the pain, of not having my leg and not feel the pain of not having my father and, you know, different circumstances going on growing up, you know, and to me, that's what it's all about, man. It provided a much needed escape for me. You know, if I have the opportunity to provide that for some kid right now growing up, you know, through my wrestling shows, then I feel it's my obligation to give back in that way.
And that brings me to, because it's not something that you see going away, like especially with this whole anti-bullying campaign that seems to be worldwide, especially WWE's Be a Star campaign. Do you get involved in like situations like that? Do you speak? Do you go to schools and try to reinforce what you just told us on the youth of this country, I guess?
Yes, and that's where I feel I make my most impact, because let's face it, wrestling has such a niche audience, and it's such a very limited audience as far as who I can reach, and some of the kids that need to hear my message or can benefit from my message probably aren't wrestling fans, or at least to the extent that they're going to go to an independent wrestling show. And so what I've done and what I've, you know, finally have had the courage to do the past few years is to put myself out there as a public speaker and try to, you know, pay my dues in that career and hone my skills and come up the right way. And, you know, it's really, it's my career now. Speaking is my career. You know, it's not wrestling anymore. And, you know, hopefully I'll get to the point where, because the goal for me right now is to speak full time and then kind of pick and choose my wrestling bookings so I don't feel obligated or I don't have to wrestle, you know, just to make a living. Because I think that'll put a little more fun back into the wrestling. But the opportunities to speak and to talk to these kids and hit them on a level that they normally wouldn't be touched on, it's been absolutely amazing. Next week, actually, in Philadelphia, Monday through Thursday, we're going to be talking to, I think, 7 different schools in 4 days, and I'm giving 8 different talks. I work for an agency called CoolSpeak. They're at coolspeak.net, and they're doing some amazing things, and they're the ones who gave me a chance to be a public speaker, so I have to show them some love, you know. It's definitely been a career transition, for sure, and I'm in the middle of that right now.
Now, you talk about, growing up with your struggles, and you found comfort in the crazy world of professional wrestling. When did you decide that you were going to get into the business?
When I was 16, it was weird. I never really thought that having one leg would help or hurt my wrestling career. But when we touched on it earlier, I was always really athletic growing up. But it wasn't until I saw some of the smaller guys like Rey Mysterio and Ultimo Dragon and those guys in like 95, 96-ish. And I saw the small guys doing some incredibly athletic things, and I thought to myself, you know what? I can do that. One leg, 2 legs, 10 legs. To me, it doesn't matter. I can do what they do. And that's when the seed was planted in my head that I could become a professional wrestler.
Walking into Truth Martini's school, did the other guys accept you right off the bat? Or, I mean, I know you probably went in with the prosthetic on, but, you know, did you hear the whispers, the chuckles? Was there any of that? Was it still like a high school mentality at that time?
Not really, because from day one, I outshined everybody in that class. And I'm not saying that to be braggadocious or anything, but I have a certain affinity for figuring things out physically, and I have a passion for wrestling, and I have a certain amount of athleticism. So all of those ingredients kind of came together, and my training was not as difficult as others for the most part. If we came into a position where we couldn't figure out, for example, like how do I run the ropes? You know, like logistically, how does somebody whip me off and hit the ropes? And if we couldn't answer, satisfactory, then I just wouldn't do it. Or if we run into an issue where I can't climb the turnbuckle the same way someone with 2 legs would, I would just figure out my own way. And so there was a lot of brainstorming and like trial and error, but what made my training successful is the fact that I kept coming back, and I had a love for it, and I was, you know, naturally gifted.
And real quick, forgive us, we're probably going to be jumping around from topic to topic only because we have a limited time with you.
Sure.
We could probably talk to you for like 2 hours because there's so much to your story that people should know, and it's just an interesting, a great career doing stuff that most people could only dream of. One question I've always had though is wrestling, obviously one-legged, did that do anything else to I don't know, like, were you often injured? Like, I can feel like that'd be a lot of pressure to put on your back. And that's no pun. I mean, like, actually, like, your back, I feel like, would be really taking a beating. Has that happened, or have you had a pretty injury-free career?
You know what? It's amazing. I've never, knock on wood, I've never been seriously injured. And I don't know why. I, people have asked me that. Because I've been doing this for 12 years. I've been hopping around on one leg for 22 years. And my hip and my knee and my ankle and my back are strong, and they're pain-free. I don't know why, but I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to count my blessings. If you look at it, you would think that I should be racked from head to toe with injuries and pain, but fact is, I'm not. You know, I don't know what to attribute that to. I really don't.
That's got
to
be some
I'm lucky and I'm blessed, you know.
That's some next level science stuff of just your body adapting to everything and just like,
My body is adjusted and adapted, and the human body is such an amazing creation, you know. I attribute it to that. And like you said earlier, man, I've had an insane career from top to bottom. You know, the highs have been so high and the lows have been really low. But as far as the journey goes, man, nobody comes close to the path I've taken, man. And you know, I'm extremely proud of my career, and I have the magic of professional wrestling to thank for that, man. And I'm eternally grateful.
Now, you talk about the highs and the lows. I mean, you don't get any higher than your debut. You know, SmackDown, you're in the crowd. You're thrown right into a storyline with Mr. America, who was Hulk Hogan, Roddy Piper. I mean, what's more exciting for a wrestling fan getting his big break than being involved with two Hall of Famers?
Yeah, no. I mean, you have to laugh because it's still it's surreal to even think back that happened. That to me is so surreal. Now that I have a little bit of life experience and a little bit of wrestling experience, you know, in this industry, it is absolutely amazing. At the time, I really couldn't appreciate that gift because I was wrestling. I probably had 20 matches. Maybe like 7 or 8 months before I got signed. Literally a week before I was in the ring with Piper and Hogan, I was bagging groceries. How are you supposed to prepare for that? You know, it's insane to think about.
And I actually remember that era of SmackDown very vividly. That was probably my favorite time period of when they did. I'm not sure if that was before or after the brand split. I'm pretty sure I think it was. And you guys you're in there with Brock Lesnar, Big Show, and even, you know, maybe even a scarier beast, Stephanie McMahon.
That was the brand split because I remember just a little tidbit. Stephanie backstage got into a fight with Vince, and they were arguing, not a physical fight, but they were arguing about the brand split and how Stephanie wanted to distinctly separate brands, and her vision was they would compete against each other, and Vince was adamant that he wasn't going to have that, and that they were going to work together and not see Stephanie's vision come to light, you know. And I remember there was some like weird tension because I would have to travel with Stephanie to do promotional stuff, and I could tell that she was kind of like stressed out or weirded out by it, but to answer your question, yep, that was right after the brand split.
And what was your take? Did you like Stephanie's vision or did you like Vince's vision?
I mean, I don't know. It's really hard to look back. I mean, if you look back, it's obviously been super successful. But I always liked the idea of competition, and I thought that's how they should have brought WCW back, kind of as its own separate thing. And you know, of course, I don't know, man. How much time do we have to talk about the invasion angle and how they dropped the ball with that? And that was right before I got there, too. But I like Stephanie's idea of just two separate brands, you know, separate ring ropes, separate entrances, separate production values. I thought that would have been really cool.
Now, you go from Piper and Hogan to Vince McMahon. What is going through your head? He built, I don't want to say he built wrestling, but I mean he's the man, and you're just thrown into a feud with Vince McMahon, and you have a match with him, a pay-per-view match. Does he come up to you, just say, you know, hey, Zach, let's just go balls out, just, you know, don't pull any punches? What's going through your mind before your match with Vince McMahon?
I would love to go back and sit in my head for like 2 weeks before that match because I really don't remember. I was so full of nerves and there was so much pressure. And honestly, all of that kind of took the fun out of wrestling for me. And because, I mean, I never got into wrestling thinking I could be in WWE because I just never thought it would happen. I never thought they would be interested in a guy like me. What I really wanted to do was have fun and have good wrestling matches and just kind of do that, you know, in addition to my real life. But when I was signed, you know, that WWE life became my life, and that's who I was. And that kind of took the fun out of it for me because there was so much pressure and there was so much pressure to, you know, to fit in the locker room and pressure with live TV and being put and being trusted in an angle with these Hall of Famer and these cultural legends. It was just insane. And it was just an insane time. But to actually have a match with Vince, there's only a handful of people that can say they did that. And I'm actually really proud of that match, considering that I'm a one-legged rookie, and I think Vince is like 54 years old, non-wrestler. We both came together and produced some pretty exciting television. Vince isn't a wrestler, so when you hit him, you have to hit him as hard as you can because he doesn't know how to sell because he's not a wrestler. And when he hits you as hard as he can because he doesn't know how to pull a punch because he's not a wrestler. So physically, it was one of the toughest matches of my career, simply because of the fact that we were nailing each other as hard as we could. But overall, it was just incredibly surreal. And, I'm blessed, and I'm grateful that I had that opportunity.
Now, you're spending this time in the WWE, and you're being featured against Hogan and Piper and Vince, and eventually you feuded with Brock and Matt Hardy, and you were involved in a bunch of different storylines. Did you see yourself being a permanent fixture in the WWE?
Excuse me. Yeah, I did. I did. It wasn't even an idea that I could get fired. That wasn't an idea until... until right before it happened. That's what really mentally it screwed with me because we touched on, the emotional highs of being there and performing with these guys, and then 6 months before bagging groceries and then doing this and then 6 months later, you know, no pun intended, but having the legs cut out from under me. And kind of tossed aside, you know, as a 20-year-old, I'm not even 21 years old at this point. Just an incredible emotional roller coaster that I wasn't I wasn't mentally or spiritually equipped enough to handle. But that's what really tripped me up because when I left, I lost my identity. I thought I was this WWE superstar Zach Allen, and I thought that's who I was, internally, externally, as a person, as a man, as a spiritual being walking this earth. This is who I thought I was. And then when that was taken away from me, it was such a shock.
Now you find yourself released, to the surprise of yourself and I'm sure lots of people. And then you kind of float around the wrestling world. You end up at TNA, Ring of Honor, a couple times, Juggalo Championship Wrestling. I know you were part of that. Do you have a favorite place where you landed, a territory that you really enjoyed being in?
I bounced around pretty much aimlessly because I got fired in 04. And for the next 6 years, up until, 2010 when, my recovery started, I bounced around aimlessly from promotion to promotion, but there was one, one or two tours with All Japan, I think in like 07, and that was awesome, man. I loved it. I wish I didn't get fired from All Japan. That's one of the biggest regrets that I had. If you haven't followed my career, for those 6 years, I basically tried to burn every bridge in wrestling, and I successfully burned every bridge in wrestling. But All Japan, I love working for All Japan because I was teaming with the Great Muda every night, and we were wrestling their bad guy faction, and it was like a dream come true. You know, I love the whole culture and I love the wrestling style, and it was just a blast to be over there. But out of all the promotions, from bouncing around, I would say All Japan was the best.
Is there a particular reason why you tried to burn all your bridges?
No, I was self-destructive. It wasn't anything intentional. I was just intent on just. I was so full of anger, and I was so bitter, and you know, self-loathing and self-pity and self-centered behavior. You know, I was just so spiritually unfit that no matter where I went, I was like a tornado, man. No matter where I went, anything or anybody coming close to me, it was going to be affected and damaged. And that's how I lived for a long time. And I'm telling you, it's no way to live. And that makes me grateful the way for how things have worked out in my life today.
Now, you regularly team with Gregory Iron. What is that connection like for you guys? I know you go around the handicapped heroes. Do you guys inspire each other? I know he has palsy and you have, you know, your one-legged deal. But I mean, do you guys motivate each other? Is it just a great feeling to know you're going out there and you're not just wrestling in front of people, but you're touching them and you're giving people hope and inspiration?
Yep, that's the whole idea. We are the only wrestlers in the world, I feel. And believe, everything I say comes from a place of humility and gratitude. But we are the only wrestlers in the world that can touch and affect fans on the level that we do. And we don't take that lightly at all, because we know how tough life can be. And if somebody, you know, and needs to hear our message and we're able to provide some sort of relief for them or point them in the right direction or even just for 15 minutes forget about the pain that they're in, you know, that's definitely our obligation to do that considering where we come from. But Greg is amazing. He was inspired to be a wrestler when he was 16 years old and he saw me wrestling on WWE television. And for those who don't know Greg, he's the world's only wrestler with cerebral palsy. And he didn't think he could be a wrestler. Then he saw me on TV, and he was inspired to become a wrestler. So he got in shape, and he trained, and, you know, 10 years later, here we are. And our stories just kind of merged into one. And now, you know, I think we're stronger together than we are apart. I think being in a tag team has helped extend my career. And it's actually inspired me to, or it's lit a little bit of a fire in my belly because this is all brand new for me, this tag team stuff, you know? And so it's new, it's exciting, it's fun. And there's not one other person in the world I would have by my side than Greg. So I'm extremely happy about that.
And for you guys out there in the Fort Wayne, Indiana area, this Saturday, Heroes and Legends 3, 3000, no, wait, let me reread that address. 3330 West Coliseum Boulevard, Fort Wayne, Indiana. There is a fan fest from 2 to 7, and then bell time is 7:30. Gregory Iron and Zach Gowan will be going for Tag Team Gold against Jake Omen and Scotty Young. Also appearing, Bobby Heenan, Buff Bagwell, Tugboat, Scotty Tuhati. It's really just a great opportunity to get out there, meet your legends, see these guys in the ring. Zach, I know we're running short on time, so we're going to kind of wind things down here. I wish we had more time because I'm sure we could go on all night.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to come back real soon and continue this conversation with you guys.
Anytime you want. Zach, real quick, we have the March Madness on in the background. Let me ask you, you're a Michigan guy. Michigan State or Michigan?
Man, I lived in Ann Arbor, which is the home of Michigan for 3 years, and you know I love Michigan, but Michigan State this year, right now they're on a roll. They look to be unstoppable, and so I'm gonna have to go with the Spartans. And you know what? They played in the Big Ten tournament, right?
They won a week ago. They beat Michigan single, like, pretty easily, I thought.
The Spartans made them look like complete amateurs. Yeah. You know, like they whipped them, man. So I'm gonna have to go with the Spartans for sure.
All right, I like it. Me too.
There you go.
I actually have them losing in the finals to Arizona, though, so don't get too upset.
Yeah, well, I think Florida's gonna take it all. But I definitely see
they're having trouble with Albany right now.
Zach, it has been a pleasure for you guys out there. You want to follow Zach? You want to keep in touch with him? At Zach Gowen on Twitter. And then I know April 4th, he's got a DVD coming out, Finding Zach Gowen. Zach, where can the fans grab that DVD?
Yep, we're gonna launch Zach Gowen here by the end of next week. And the DVD is coming out April 4th. And it's going to be the most comprehensive look at my life story, not just in wrestling, because wrestling, as crazy as it is, it's just a small part of an even crazier story. And so I hope everyone checks it out. I think you know, ultimately it's going to change some lives. But that's coming out April 4th. At Zach Gowen is the Twitter, like you said, / Zach Gowen is the Facebook, and I'm on Instagram. You guessed it, at Zach Gowen. So that's a lot of Zach Gowen's there, man. But I'm not hard to find, and I just want to say thank you guys for having me, and I appreciate the interest, and to the fans listening, I appreciate the interest in the beginning and the re-interest now. Here we are, 10 years later, man. You guys drive me, without you, I don't exist. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Zach. A true inspiration in not just wrestling, but in life in general. Zach, it's been a pleasure. We really did enjoy this. We're definitely going to have to do this again. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, and tell Nick I said hi, and tell him I was putting him over on Twitter last week when I was at the doctor's office. I think, real quick, I think he's one of those guys who are completely underrated, and the impact of his career that he's had in wrestling as a whole, I think it's understated. And I think the man is a complete legend. You know, I mean, he was the first to put a book out. He was the first guy to really go mainstream in that regard. And I think he's the reason why you guys even have a podcast today. I think Mick started the whole genre or that whole idea. He got that ball rolling, you know. So please tell him I said hello, and I can't wait to see him.
We definitely will, Zach.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Take care, man.
Hello, wrestling fans. This is the Alpha Female, and you're listening to Shining Wizard.
And that was the one and only Tenacious Z, Zach Gowen. Again, guys, please get out there, support him. He's pretty accessible to the fans on his Twitter, at Zach Gowen. And I know there's a couple people out there in the Indiana area, so get out there to Heroes and Legends 3 at Fort Wayne on Saturday. Fan Fest from 2 to 7, Bell Time 7:30, Bobby the Brain Heenan, Scott Taylor, Tugboat, Buff the Gigolo Bagwell.
Did you watch that, by the way?
I haven't watched it.
I'll admit, I watched, I had to, I watched the debut episode of that, not the debut episode, but his debut on the show. It's that show is hysterical, but it's uncomfortable. It's so uncomfortable seeing Buff Bagwell. You actually see his stuff.
Do you really?
Yeah, Showtime pulls no punches.
Wow, look at that. An endorsement from Kevin Garifo.
No, what do you mean? There's no endorsement.
Watch the Gigolos.
If you want to see.
And you want to see Buff stuff.
It's extremely uncomfortable.
Does he have a nice hog?
Well, you don't. It's very brief. Let's put it that way. And I wasn't going out of my way to look, but actually I just had to watch it because I never even seen the show, never even heard of the show until it was reported that he was going to be on it. So I had to check it out.
Oh, fair enough. Well, I'm going to have to go watch it now and see if Buff's stuff lives up to the hype.
All they do is just like bang like older chicks, and it's uncomfortable.
It's kind of gross.
There are no prize tomatoes on that show, that's for sure.
How do you think his wife feels about that?
Is he married?
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't know. Probably not bad. Another paycheck coming in for him.
So anyway, Zach Gowen, yeah, check that out. Support him.
I wish we had more time with him.
So we'll figure something out. Sounds like we're going to have him back on. Great inspiration. What do we got going on in the world of professional wrestling?
I don't know, man. Big Bitch is trying to steal Hulk Hogan's merch.
I don't know how that even happens.
Did you watch? They released the surveillance video today, and like apparently like they knock shit down somewhere, and then they created the version, and one chick just walks and just ganks it. It's pretty. And apparently they're from Michigan, so like there's probably gonna be like no shot of them, unless the person they sell it to tries to like I don't know, try to make some money or try to get some notoriety and turn him in. But Hulk Hogan, man, watch your merch, dude. That's a $5,000 gimmick boot right there.
That's a lot, brother.
That's a lot of money you got to pay Linda, brother. That's $5,000 right there if you sell that.
I guess it's cheaper than paying, you know, whatever he's charging for an autograph. No, it probably isn't.
What is he? He probably hits you for like 100, right? For an autograph?
At least like 250, dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was the one. WrestleCon last year, he was charging an insane amount of money.
Let's see what else we got. Not a whole lot of crazy stuff
going on.
Did you
see that Ring of Honor sold out the Hammerstein Ballroom for their May show before even announcing a card?
Did they shell out $100,000?
I don't think they did. I know they're bringing over a ton of people from New Japan.
Let's see.
Jushin Liger. Fuck, what's the other guy's name? Now I got to look that up too. Nice to see that we're well prepared for tonight's episode. Mick Foley's going to be joining us soon, so make sure you guys stay tuned for that. But yeah, ROH coming into New York City in May. They're doing a co-promotion with New Japan Pro Wrestling. They announced it that weekend, that big wrestling weekend. I was in Philly on Friday, PWS Saturday, Dragon Gate on Sunday. Which is surprising that they're bringing in all the New Japan guys, not for WrestleMania weekend when they're down in New Orleans. Gato and Jado, Jushin Thunder Liger, Nakamura, the Rainmaker, who was on the New Japan Pro Wrestling Wrestle Kingdom that I watched. He was in one of the main events. Tanahashi, who was the Intercontinental Champion in the IWGP. Huge names announced for the show. So, I mean, good for them. Without even announcing a card, you're selling out. So that's pretty fucking badass.
It's Ring of Honor, man. I mean, once you announce that you're bringing in New Japan Pro Wrestling, that's a pretty easy ticket to want to buy.
They've announced those New Japan guys and then AJ Styles, and they sold out.
Like I said, ROH fans, man, they're the some of the most hardcore fans. That whole, I mean, I guess we can call it the under. Even though Ring of Honor is not there anymore, they're pretty prominent. We all know that. It's like that underground wrestling scene. It's pretty big, and the fans are the most hardcore around. The Ring of Honor guys, the Dragon Gate guys, the Shikara guys, CCW guys, Beyond. They're big time. And update: I'm just scrolling through PW Insider while you mentioned Hammerstein Ballroom. ProWrestling.net initially broke the story. I'm on PWInsider.com saying that there were talks with Hammerstein about running shows in the summer because TNA has yet to lock down any future dates with Orlando. No numbers discussed, none of that $300,000 that we were talking about. It also says that TNA has been looking to run casinos and potentially partner with them for tapings over the summer. But conversations are definitely happening with Hammerstein and TNA.
Casinos, huh?
That's not a bad deal, man.
No, it's really not.
Some of those casinos hold like thousands of people.
Yeah, where are we? Mohegan Sun has a huge arena.
Mohegan Sun, even the Foxwoods, even in places in AC, big time ballrooms and big time arenas and venues like that. Let's see what else. WWE possibly on the verge of acquiring. Future Hall of Famer Carlos Colon's WWC video library, which would be a great addition to the network, the WWE network, if they were able to secure that. They're seriously considering, according to Carlos Colon's family, seriously considering the idea of selling the footage. That is something to look out for. I would love to see that, because I have not seen a whole lot of WWC stuff, World Wrestling Council, other than matches here and there.
Oh, I'd like to see that. I'd like to see a lot of Brody, nice Carlos Colon, even some Savio Vega before he was Savio Vega.
Yeah, man.
He's running around doing his TNT gimmick. So, I mean, not a whole lot of wrestling news. It's when there's four of us or three of us, we bring more to the table. But we have a jam-packed show. We already talked to Zach Gowen, and now we're going to go and we're going to talk to Mr. Mick Foley.
Daddy.
You guys sit back and relax. We're going to talk about his WrestleMania dream vacation giveaway. All proceeds go to the RAIN Foundation, RAIN.org. It's RAINN.org/raffle. Or if you go to RAIN.org, it's right there. Mick Foley's WrestleMania Dream Vacation. $2 tickets. The minimum purchase is 5 tickets, so you have to spend $10. But what you get for this vacation is unbelievable. And when we come back, we'll be talking to Mick Foley about that. So sit tight. Ladies and gentlemen, now joining us on the Shining Wizards Hotline, he is known as many things. Santa Claus, Cactus Jack, WWE Hall of Famer. We are joined tonight by Mr. Mick Foley. How are you tonight, Mick?
Everything is good. Getting excited about WrestleMania, as I think a lot of you guys are. And I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me about the raffle and apparently, we've got a little history together. Is that correct?
That is true, Mick. This is Kevin. Kevin Garifo, as some people in the comedy circuit may know me. We actually did a show together, me and Mick Foley, a couple years back in Little Italy at a place called Cha-Cha's. And it was a show with Mick, the Reverend Bob Levy, a couple others. And Mick Foley and I had a little little exchange about the amount of people that came out to support me doing my show. Also, they were there to see you as well. And this man went to bat for me, saying that I should get more time because of the support that I received. And I just want to say that I am eternally grateful to you for that.
Well, I appreciate it. If memory serves me correctly, it was not a particularly well-attended show. It was, 50, 60 people, and about 12 of them were there specifically to see you, and I still remember your expression on your face when Reverend Bob Levy, who's a outstanding comic, went over and told you you had 2 minutes. Was it 2 minutes?
It was like 2 to 5 or 3 to 5 or something like that.
I thought it was 2 to 3.
It could have been 2 to 3, man.
I specifically remember thinking 2 to 3, and the look on your face was just, what are you doing 2 to 3 minutes on stage? And I went over to Bob and said, Bob, obviously more people are here to see him than you and me. let's give the guy some time. And then I said, I'll tell you what, let me give him, 5 minutes, or whatever it was, 5 minutes of my time. And so, that's cool. I'm glad you remember that. And I'm kind of out of that situation now Bob is awesome, but, he works really blue and,
yep.
I'm trying to go a little more PG-13 where I just drop one F-bomb and then there's some suggestive stuff in there, but nothing really dirty. And people would just, their jaws would be dropped because Bob is a hilarious, he's a great comic, but he works really dirty.
Right.
And so I'm not in the situations where guys are getting time on the, card based on bringing people, which is one, it's a great way to do it, and it certainly makes more sense to do that in comedy than it does in wrestling, because there are promoters who will let someone on the card if they sell X number of tickets, whether they can wrestle or not. And so in comedy, in a worst-case scenario, someone doesn't do well, and in wrestling, in a worst-case scenario, someone gets really badly hurt. So I do remember that. I'm glad that it wasn't a bad story with me going up to Bob and going, hey, that kid has too much time. Let me have some of his.
It was honestly I jumped on the chance to do the show because obviously you were on it and I love comedy. I've been doing it for a while myself. But then just that whole experience and you sticking around and watching and going to Bob and all that stuff was incredible. And I just want to say thank you for that.
You got it. And now, you're still in the game, right?
Yes, and I'll actually be seeing you in June at the Crossroads in Garwood, New Jersey.
Oh, very cool, very cool.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Glad to say, it's like anything else. You work at it hard enough, and you improve. And I think you'll see a vast improvement between my time at Cha-Cha's and when you see me in Garfield. I think that's June 4th.
Yep, true. So, right around there.
All right, man. I'll look forward to it. And if you don't mind, we get a plug in for something before the raffle. If anyone, because I know you guys go nationwide, I can't even remember the Dusty Rhodes thing I was about to rip off. The Toast of the Coast. Host with the most from Tokyo.
Either one sounds right, to be honest with you.
I have no idea. But anyway, they can check it out at realmickfoley.com and go over to events and see where I'm appearing in the country because I'm out there quite a bit.
Yes, you are.
Now, let's talk about this WrestleMania dream vacation. I mean, it is a wrestling fan's dream. I'm looking at Rain, rain.org/raffle. Just looking at it, and even if you're not a wrestling fan, you're entering just to go to Disney for 4 days afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, if someone is not a wrestling fan, I mean, they could very well just call up and say, look, I just want to go to Disney. Or they could say, I want to explore, New Orleans for those 4 days and then go to Disney and, give my tickets to someone else. But I think, we are getting some people who are supporting Rain because it's a great cause. It's the nation's largest anti-sexual assault organization. And because that's a difficult subject to talk about, it's often kind of just pushed away. And so by doing this raffle, it gets the words out there and it allows people to know that in addition to going to rain.org, for the raffle, it's a great place to reach out and get help if you need it. So it's a way for me to make a difference. And, in the last few weeks, it's really picked up. Part of the reason I made the raffle so good, to be honest with you, is that for a while it didn't look like Mania was getting much enthusiasm. And had I known that the shows are going to turn around and the card is going to start shaping up to be so good, I probably wouldn't have added the Disney vacation. And who knows, I may not have got on the phone and asked Gabe Sapolsky, if he wanted to participate. And then I talked to Court Bauer at Ring of Honor. And so they're in, and WrestleCon, rather, whatever they're calling their festival there. Everyone who I've spoken to, including Velvet Sky, who's signing that unbelievable poster of her in the Yankees jersey. I don't care if you hate the Yankees. This is like the greatest baseball-themed poster of all time, and like a hug from Velvet, like just DDP from Diamond Dallas Page. It's really unbelievable. And lunch with Brie Bella and some divas at breakfast with me. Honestly, if you're not a fan of mine and you want to call up and tell me to sleep in, I'll forgive you for it. But there's just so much going on, and it's only $10 to enter. And little by little, using the strength in numbers theory, we are really, really making a difference in helping out a great cause.
And I see that, and I think the grand scheme of the prize overshadows what you guys actually do. I'm looking through all the stuff that you guys have on this website, and one thing I did notice was the military Department of Defense Safe Hotline, and that's something that's pretty much unprecedented, I think, in that genre about sexual assault by people affected in the armed forces and stuff like that. Talk about a little bit about that and some of the other stuff that you guys actually contribute.
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, I remember I was an active online hotline volunteer for 2 years. I'm not exaggerating when I say that I hold my Rain Volunteer of the Month award up there as high as anything I've ever done as Randall. Never
it's
trained
okay.
3 years. Named after Randy Orton. Now I'm threatening to ruin Randall, we're trying to educate people.
He's very excited.
I'm not a hateful person, but I hate that dog. I hate Randall. So, Randall, knock it off. I was at the first meeting with the Department of Defense. Rain asked me if I would go there. Because no matter what environment you're in, somebody's going to be a wrestling fan. And so that proved to be the case, when we're sitting with a couple of these generals high up in the armed services, and who knows, maybe I helped make a little dent there. But the Department of Defense realized they had a problem with sexual assault in the military, and wanted to do something about it. And so they partnered with Rain, and I've had several service members, men specifically, who said, look, who've told me, whether it was in person or on the internet, like I had no idea where to go. I'm a man, I'm in the military, I never thought something like this could happen to me. So, we're out there Rain, I guess I'm still part of them. So we are out there for everyone, whether you're a recent survivor, or whether you're trying to deal with something that happened 20 years ago, that the hotline, you go to rain.org and you can go online, or you can go to their 800 number, which I used to know by heart and I don't anymore, but it's 1-800-something-HOPE. But you can find that on the website as well. So again, it's a way where we're raising a lot of money for a relatively small organization, even though it's the largest anti-sexual assault group in the United States. It still has a budget of under $2 million for the entire year. And
wow.
So to think that we we're closing in on I think we're going to hit $100,000. I really do. And that's kind of on one hand, that's just a small percentage of people who follow wrestling chipping in, but on the other hand, to make $100,000 with no we're not advertising. It's just done through social media, and people are either chipping in money. Some people are buying. One guy bought 316 tickets because it was March 16th, and because he was an Austin fan, and I guess he thought the it would be his lucky number. And then, other people are really reaching out and buying many tickets. And other people, are saying, look, I need the money, to pay the bills, but can I just spread the word and tweet it out? So everyone's helping, and we're looking for a big few final days to really make a difference.
Yeah, and situations like this, word of mouth is sometimes almost as effective as an actual cash donation. Obviously, the cash is great, but just spreading it out to people that might be in a better position to donate is just as vital to charities and organizations like RAIN. Are there any big time players other than the ones we've seen involved in the prizes and whatnot? Has WWE or even TNA or stuff like that, have they been reaching out? Have they been helping?
Oh, I remember when I've approached, it's been great. I've been hitting up guys in WWE, and they're sending it out. And, Brie was on board from the very beginning. And, I did ask her a few days ago if Daniel might send something out, on Monday night. It's all timing. And I don't want to bother people, but it's no one treats it like it's a bother. I think they're glad to do it. It's not like I badger people, it's not like I ask the WWE superstars and divas to like tweet about my upcoming shows. Like, they realize this is a big deal to me, and I don't ask for favors very often, and they're happy to do it.
That's great. And I know we're short on time, Mick. I don't want to keep you. I'm sure there's a lot of fans who are going to listen to this and be annoyed at us because we didn't ask you wrestling questions.
Ask a couple wrestling questions. This is fun, and we'll get back to the movie that I was watching in a few minutes. But, yeah, go ahead. We'll just talk a little wrestling.
Well, I don't want to take you away from family time. I know you're a very, very busy man. We can save
the
wrestling
questions.
We'll
fire a couple wrestling questions at me.
Nah, let's just – we'll keep it breezy. We'll keep it popcorn-y. WrestleMania weekend is a great weekend. It's the weekend that all the superstars and divas look forward to. What is your favorite part about WrestleMania weekend? I'm assuming you will be there?
Yes, I will. I've got some interviews on Thursday, and I'm doing a signing at Access on Saturday, and something else as well on I don't know if it's a public thing or if it's a school. But I'm going. I'm bringing three of my kids are coming, and we're really looking. As a matter of fact, the tickets that the two tickets that our winners get will be right next to my family. But I'll just tell you out of the bat, they're going to sit next to Dewey, not going anywhere near my daughter. So that's final. Like, commission, I'm bringing my gavel. I'm going to say that's final.
There is.
And we're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to doing some fun stuff. And I'll have to hang out with my son Huey at the after, the after party, because he's too young. But it will be. I'm not sure. I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to the most. Jake's Hall of Fame induction speech. I think I really enjoyed my time up there. I really did. But I said when I was inducted last year. But I think Jake is going to give the speech that all the other speeches will be judged by. I know it's meant a lot to him. It was great to see him on Old School Raw. Oh yeah, I'm laughing because I didn't put out the post that I wanted to, and I am going to put it out. I'll give you guys the big I'll break it here so you guys will know it when you see it. What I intend to do is send out a tweet that says, to find out why I and not DDP should be inducting, you know, at Jake, whatever Jake's thing is, click onto it. I'll have my my big post explaining why I should be inducting Jake. And then when you get there, I'll go, there's absolutely no reason. Like, you know, this is the perfect this is the perfect guy. And it'll be an article praising, you know, DDP and what he's done for Jake and what a great night it should be. So that's going to be my big controversial thing. And then I'm sure some people will only see what they want to see, report back Foley irate over Jake Roberts snub at Hall or whatever the case might be.
Nice. Thoughts on Daniel Bryan walking away from Mania as the champion, possibly?
Oh, man, yeah. I'd say it looks like it could actually happen. And this is, I think all of us, and including myself, forgot what a great heel Triple H could be. Because up until Monday night, especially going back a few weeks ago, it really looked, even when Daniel was asking for the match with Triple H, like he was trying to sell people something they weren't interested in buying. And then after Monday night, you know, which was a brutal but really effective way to close the show, I think people see, like, all right, this is a match we want to see. And if he wins, and I'm going to hope he does, like, he's going to be hurting. And so he'll be entering the main event at WrestleMania as, like, one of the great underdog stories in history. And who knows how it'll end, but the potential is there to have a really emotional scene. I, for one, would like, as much as I like Stephanie McMahon as a person, I believe she needs to be slapped by a female. And I think there's a good candidate who would like to slap her. And I think there's just a scenario, potential scenario, for some great joy at the end of Mania. And it's almost like really built up because I'd say since Hell in a Cell, you know, the shows haven't had that joyful feeling. So let's hope that we all get that release at the end of Mania.
We're all in the same boat on that one. Before we wrap this up, we did have Zach Gowen on earlier, and he wanted us to tell you he thinks the world of you, and he can't wait to see you again, and he just sends his best your way. So I wanted to Zach.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Did you ever hear the story about the guy WWE signed with the amputation?
No.
I don't know this firsthand, but Mr. McMahon heard about this young man who was wrestling with only one leg and sent John Laurinaitis down to sign him. John signed the young man, only to find out that it was the wrong signee.
Wow.
They had to go back and sign Zach and then somehow break the news to this poor guy that he was never the person they were looking for to begin with. You know, it was like, what the hell is this? Like, he was losing like a, just the story I heard. And then, you know, he'd lost part of his foot in an accident or something like that. And he thinks he's hit the lottery and then finds out that he's the wrong.
Womp, womp.
Wow. Maybe I shouldn't even be spreading those rumors. But
I think I've actually, now that you mentioned it, I've read that or heard that before, actually, too. So.
Can you imagine being that guy and finding out you're the wrong amputee? only in wrestling. You never see those kind of mistakes in baseball. Well, listen, guys, I'm watching. My young one here is recovering.
From St. Patrick's Day?
No, he got a really bad flu, and he's been down and out for a few days. So we're watching a good movie together.
Nice.
Yeah, well, we don't want to keep you, Mr. Foley. RealMickFoley.com. Go to that website right on the front there, Mick Foley WrestleMania Dream Vacation. Click on that, or go to rain.org/raffle. It's $10 minimum.
Which is amazing.
$10 and you could go to Disney for 4 days, New Orleans for 4 days, $1,000 spending money. You get to hang out with Mick Foley and his family, but don't go near his daughter. It's just a great cause. And even if you don't win, know that you're giving back and you're helping people. And then Mick's going to be in Massachusetts and Connecticut all weekend doing the comedy thing. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Plymouth, Massachusetts, Webster, Massachusetts, and Connecticut at Foxwoods Casino on Sunday. Deadline for the giveaway is Monday. Mick, it has been a pleasure. Anything else you'd like to leave us with before we let you go?
See you in New Jersey, and thanks for sharing that story. Good to know there's good stories out there about me. And have a nice day, as a friend of mine, Mankind, used to say.
Nice. Mick, thank you very much. It was an honor.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you, Mick.
This is the King of Old School, Steve Carino, and you're listening to the Shining Wizards podcast on www.shiningwizards.com.
That was amazing.
That was probably the greater than the story he told. This night was probably better.
I don't want to. I was thinking this the other day. If I ever lost my phone and a wrestling fan found it,
we could get in a lot of trouble.
It's just weird for me.
Because we're still in that place in life where we're talking to these guys, but it's just like I'm still shaking. Like I'm still shaking after talking with Mick Foley and how awesome he was. He wanted to put that story that we had. We talked about it off air. He wanted to bring it up on the air. I'm like, are you serious? Like, and that's just unreal.
It's been a long time since I've been nervous. Before we called him, like 2 minutes before him, I had a piece of cat hair in my mouth, and I got up to go to the bathroom to get it out. I almost threw up in the living room. Like, I haven't been that nervous to call somebody. I'd probably say since Rob Van Dam. For me.
Well, for me, it was probably, and this was before I think I was even on the show, it was Kendrick, because I'm a huge Kendrick guy. Lance Storm.
Oh, yeah, Lance Storm was a good one, too.
But, I mean, it's so surreal for guys like us talking to all the guys in the business, whoever they are. It's insane.
It's so crazy. Just for you guys out there, I think the audio may have cut out a little bit. Monday night, 9 p.m. is the deadline for the WrestleMania Dream Vacation raffle. RealMickFoley.com or RAINN.org /raffle. Just run down everything they're giving away. 2 prime tickets to WrestleMania, usually for WWE family. 2 tickets to Raw, 2 tickets to the Hall of Fame, 2 tickets to any session of WrestleMania access. 2 tickets to a Hardcore Legend, an evening with Mick Foley on the 4th of April. You get to have breakfast with Foley. You get to have lunch with Brie Bella and other divas. You get 2 tickets for airfare. You get a limo transportation from the airport to the hotel.
And you have a personal workout, a DDP yoga workout, a personal workout with Shining Wizards Tony. Personal workout with Shining Wizards Tony doing DDP. No, it's with DDP.
No, it's with Tony. You get to smell his corned beef farts because he likes to put that all over his Facebook like an idiot.
That's huge. That's worth a $300 donation to have to do some shining, some DDP yoga with Shining Wizards Tony.
You get 4 nights in a 3-4-star hotel a mile from the Superdome, $1,000 cash. You get a 4-day trip to Disney after WrestleMania. You get VIP passes to Dragon Gate USA and ROH running that weekend. WrestleCon, I mean, he just keeps giving, adding things to this this raffle. Tickets are $2. Minimum purchase is 5 tickets, so it's $10. I brought $25 worth of tickets. Obviously, as you purchase more, the price, you know, evens out a bit. I think it was 25 tickets for $25. But, I mean, it's a great cause. Even if you don't win, the proceeds benefit RAIN, the Rape, Abuse, Incest National Network. So please check them out. Support them. As Mick said, they don't really make all that much money for.
And Mick struggled to remember the phone number. If you yourself are, I don't know, Tony would probably kill us for actually helping people. But the phone number for RAIN is 1-800-656-HOPE, 1-800-656-HOPE. So, you know, reach out to them if you're, you know, involved in something like this. And it's an amazing organization that does great stuff. And yeah.
Yeah, Tony is probably raped as a kid, so it probably
hits. Yeah, Tony has used this number before.
Oof, man, what a show. That was a great show. We'd like to thank Zach Gowen. I'd like to thank Mick Foley. I'd like to thank Kevin. I'd
like to thank Matt.
We do have a heel of the week. Now it's time for the heel of the week.
brought to you by HeelTurnTees.com.
Now, before we give our heels of the week, I would like to mention that HeelTurnTees, they have decided to partner up with us. We did such a great run in the month of February where we gave away a HeelTurnTees t-shirt every week. They are now on board. We will be giving away t-shirts twice a month through HeelTurnTees. And if you're not familiar with them, please check them out, HeelTurnTees.com. I know Mike Crisis from Philadelphia got an awesome Ultimate Warrior t-shirt. Somebody else got an awesome Ultimate Warrior t-shirt, or a Sting t-shirt. I'm sorry, a Sting t-shirt. They put out great products, so definitely check them out. My heel of the week this week, Mr. Kevin, is Eddie's job.
Ah, the bank.
Due to Eddie's job, he could not be here tonight. And according to Eddie, he was very annoyed, and he assaulted equipment.
We don't know what that means, if it was his own equipment, if he punched himself in his equipment, or if he broke a mirror or flushed a urinal extra hard. We don't know. But he abused the facility that is his occupation. My heel of the week is going to be Route 46 in New Jersey for almost costing me to miss the Zach Gowen interview. Little traffic on 46 West. For those of you out of the New Jersey area, traffic in New Jersey on 280 West to 46 is terrible in that time that we had to do this interview. So almost had to miss that. So my heel of the week are the roads of New Jersey.
Damn you, roads.
Damn you, potholes.
Rhiannon is here. She lives here. Rhiannon is raw, which hasn't really resurfaced. Her heel of the week is me. And I don't know why, but... Oh, because Rhiannon's a face. There we go.
That's what it is.
I don't know why I have to be the heel.
Because I have a heel beard. She said that Matt asked, why does he have to be the heel? You heard that because he's on the microphone. But Rhiannon just said, because you have the beard. And she was referring to the heel beard. So... very inspirational show we had tonight with Zach Gowen and Mick Foley.
Yeah, I couldn't be happier. I still think I'm recovering from talking to Mick Foley.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah, a lot of inspiration going on here. A lot of good vibes with the Shining Wizards tonight.
And going forward, Tuesday night, we're talking to Kevin Knight and Tito Santana promoting the IWF show. It's a fundraiser taking place April 12th. But let's not get ahead of ourselves this Saturday night, Kevin.
Oh, man, I wish I could be there. I have to pay the bills.
Pro Wrestling Syndicate's running a show at Belleville High School, 100 Passaic Ave, Belleville, New Jersey. 6 o'clock is the autograph signing. 8 o'clock is the bell time. If you were at the Edison show, you know you need to get your tickets. If you're hearing this and it's before Saturday, ProWrestlingSyndicate.com. I'm sure you could get them at, pay for them now, pick them up at the door. I highly suggest you do. PWS Heavyweight Championship ladder match, Bonesaw defends against Alex Reynolds. Kevin Matthews against Arkham in a dog collar match. If Kevin Matthews loses, he retires.
No.
Suicidal Six Way, the Drunken Swashbuckler, Starman, Bobby Wayward, Craig Steele, Matt McIntosh, and the Spirit Dragon. Also, Hacksaw Jim Duggan taking on last week's guest, Dave Destruction.
Yeah.
Mario Bocara, he'd be facing Amazing Red, substituting for.
Face him, he will. It was like almost like Yoda. That wasn't Croatian.
Yeah, but you had the Croatian accent, okay. So it wasn't all more right. Like, face him, he will.
Face him, he will.
Trent Beretta is going to be in action taking on Chris Payne, who's a dick.
Who does the best Mike Francesa I've ever heard in my life.
Have you ever heard Anthony Aquadro? You know what? I'm going to. All right, Devin Moore against Danny Moff, ProWrestlingSyndicate.com, March 22nd. For those of you guys who are familiar with us, you know we named an episode after Mr. Anthony Aquadro. He's a little bit of a squirrel. These are the text messages I've been getting from him.
Okay? There's a lot of weird text messaging stuff going on between your circle with Jamie and Kirk, if it's what I think you're talking about.
It is. This is the text I got yesterday. Anthony has created his own wrestling federation in his head. The characters alone are worth their weight in gold.
I've seen some of these. We got to share them on the book.
I have to share them, yeah. Okay? It's real quick. If you like it, great. If you don't, I don't know. Fucking sit on it. Fantastic Wrestling Action is the name of his federation. He's got Corporate Savior versus the Offline Soldier. And tag team match of Both Coasts Hustlers versus Studio Ken Holiday and Phil Castaway. Fritz Cyborg against Tim Tasteless.
And none of this is written down? This is all in his head?
It's all in his head. Oliver Anderson IV against Everyman Arnold Dayside. Very creative.
Yeah, not bad.
Afterburner Zach York against Nord the Viking.
That's a berserker. That's a berserker reference.
I'm sorry, Nord the Viking Hurricane. There was a Twitter notification that just popped up on my phone. The Untold Story against Tom Finisher. Sean Brandywine against Uncivilized. Leon the Athlete O'Malley against Journeyman Henry Thorpe. And in the main event, Nobody's Fool against 1 in 7 billion Brad Sunshine. I also got a text message that said, Professor Jeff Sexy has a PhD in sexy.
Well, I mean, you would have to, wouldn't he?
I mean, just to kind of bring you into the circle of our weird wrestling friends, this is what goes on. We don't get important Shining Wizards texts. I get these texts. And he actually does a great Mike Francesa, and I wanted to have him call in tonight and talk Mania, but maybe we'll do that in a later date and time. I couldn't think of a funny name, like a pun, like a Mark.
For who? For you?
Well, no. If Anthony was to call in, but as Mike Francesa, he couldn't be Mike. He'd have to be like Mark, like Frog Splash or something.
Oh, yeah. Mark Franchise.
Something goofy. I don't know. And he could tell us how WrestleMania is going to be awesome.
And this is how we're closing the show.
Pretty much. Beyond Wrestling's running a show Sunday. Critical Acclaim. Oh, God, I do so well. And in the end of the show, I just trip over my tongue. LookMonNoFans.com. Get your tickets. FET Music, F-E-T-E, is where it's going down. 8 p.m. bell time is in Rhode Island. It's a bit of a hike, so I doubt any of us will be there. But you never know. The Shining Wizards have traveled far and wide to see Beyond Wrestling. Definitely a great company. Look out for them. And I think that's it, Kevin.
No, we got the open house for Create a Pro.
Shit. Yes, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. If you weren't going to do it, I was going to. Create a Pro Wrestling in Long Island, Hicksville, Long Island. Open house. If you ever wanted to even attempt to be a pro wrestler in your life, which I'm sure a lot of people listening have, it's not too late. Check out the open house in Hicksville, Long Island. It is from 12 to 2. I don't have the exact address. I think it's on
95
Engineers Road.
Engineer Drive.
Engineer Drive. Run by the co-owner of Pro Wrestling Syndicate, Pat Buck, and WWE superstar Kurt Hawkins. As of now, we are going to be there. Not sure yet. A lot of stuff can happen in 48 hours or 72 hours, whatever it is. Or it's actually more than that. What's 72 plus 24?
96
hours. It's going to be great. A lot of the PWS guys should be there to check it out. So that's huge too. So we'll see some of you guys out there for that.
And follow them at Create a Pro on Twitter, CreateAProWrestling.com. Check that out. Seriously, if you are a young buck and you want to get into the ring, this is the place to go. It's no bullshit. They tell it like it is. And if you know the PWS product, you know what you're in for. Because Pat and company, Danny Moff. Those guys have done an amazing job with these guys, and it's really a breath of fresh air in the world of wrestling. Next week, Kevin Knight, Tito Santana. Wednesday night in studio is Ref Hansen. Big CM Punk fan, huge CM Punk fan. So we're looking forward to that.
All that great stuff.
I think that's it. That's all I got. I already plugged the network at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, so support all the guys on the network. PJ, Pro Wrestling 101, Turbuckle Throwbacks, obviously Pat, Kevin, and Jay Silva, 2.5 Wrestlers. I know we have commercials for them, but it's more meaningful when it comes from us. Did you already do that? Did you have your voice do it in the beginning?
I did. That's okay.
Neckbreaker Podcast, The Midnight Jury, The Fallen Angels, they just had their St. Patrick's Day episode up, Apex Radio, Forearms and Funk. And everyone else that supports us. Thank you very much. And Matt, you can take it home.
We are the Shining Wizards, shiningwizards.com. Follow us on Twitter at Wizards Podcast. That's where we will be holding our Heel Turn Tees contest for a free t-shirt. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audio Boo, CWERadio.com, and the newly, I forgot, Geek Life Radio. And then we just joined the Mark Marks for Life Network. We are available everywhere and anywhere. And that's all I got for you guys tonight. We will see you next week. We will see you this weekend. If you're at PWS, you're at Creative Pro Open House, please stop. Say hello to us. We have a brand new, for the first time ever, we have reordered the pink and black Shining Wizards Kick logo t-shirts.
The demand was high.
If you guys want them, please buy them. You know what else I forgot to mention? ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards. And they're also doing Andre the Giant t-shirts. All the proceeds go to Andre's family. There's like 10 shirts, so get over there. Check it out. ProWrestlingTees.com/Andre the Giant.
Buy those shirts. Those shirts are just as important.
And we're going to, I don't know, I'll put in a song after post.
Gotcha.
In post.
In post.
See you guys tomorrow.
Later. Peace.
See ya.